2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're talking about finally, that where we come to the climax of what we, when Paul is speaking, the climax of what he wants to communicate to you to carry away. What's the takeaway? Finally, what's, you know, you hear people talk about it. What's the takeaway? You know, yeah, everybody wants to know what the takeaway is from your from the message that you're preaching. And of course, we've got a big old Bible here, you know, and it's got a lot of information in it, a lot of scripture in it. But finally, what does it end up being for our, when we walk out that door on Sunday morning, what is he wanting us to carry with us so that we hear his voice every day? Amen. That's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to get a whole list of books to put on your shelf. He doesn't want you to get a whole list of steps that you have to walk through. God's not really, as many preachers that preach steps, even seven chairs. He is not in, God's not into steps, is he? He is into relationship with you. He doesn't want you to take steps and go follow them. He wants you to walk with him. He wants me to walk with him. He wants me to have a good time with him. That's what he wants. And so that's what I want to do when I get up in the morning or when I go to bed at night. You know what? You're even spending time with Jesus when you're going to bed at night. It's like a slumber party. Amen. Yeah, you're there with the Lord. He is with you. Constantly, he wants to have fellowship with you.
God, I'm trying to go to sleep.
You know, he wants to get up, you know, and he wants to have a good time with you. So let's look at this. I want to look at the word, first of all, I want to look at the word finally. Sounds like a Bible school sermon or something, but I like to look up things and look up words and kind of dig into finding out, okay, because we have all kinds of words in that are used in the Bible. You've got all kinds of words that are used in various English translations, right? Now, of course, you come into it with the Greek and the Hebrew, the New Testament, you come into it with the Greek. And you've got all these modern translations, of course. We've got the King James, which is the one we've had for 500 years. Or, is that right? 400 years. For 400 years. And of course, that's a long time, right? And some of the words have been modified to update it in there. And how many know the King James Bible actually belongs to the Crown of England?
Okay.
Do you know that?
Okay, yeah.
The copyright belongs to the King of England.
Yeah.
Belonged to the Queen before they became the King. But in the United States, publishing? Public domain. Public domain.
What is it?
Yeah, it's public domain in the United States. But in the UK, it's actually you have to pay to or have to get permission to include it. Like if you're writing a book, you have to get permission to use the King James Version in your publication. So it's kind of fun. But so that is the King James was well produced. It was well produced by scholars. Yet we have all kinds of different words in various modern translations that did get used so that we can more clearly understand ostensibly, or so they say, and unless those words may or may not be totally correct. There's an interesting spot in Luke, is it 2:33, that in the NIV, the New International Version, which I don't use, that it says that says refers to Jesus and in Joseph, it's referring to one. The King James says Joseph and the young child, and refers just to Joseph by name. Well, a name is a proper name. And everybody, right? And if it refers in the same verse in the NIV to the child's father, well, Who's Jesus' father, really?
The Heavenly Father.
God. Well, if you put the child's father in the NIV, what happened to the name, the proper name, Joseph? That's non sequitur. You know, that doesn't fit. The child's father was not the name Joseph if the word pater, which is the Greek, is, if it's used pater, it's talking about, you know, the relational verse. So all I'm saying is that various times in the scriptural interpretation, there are some quirks that you look at and go, how'd that happen? How could you call him the child's father when it's, the King James also says, and your Greek must say Joseph. So you have to go back to the Greek and make sure which one fits, which one's correct. Now I look over here, the word, now I want to take the word finally. The scriptures we're going to look at all begin with the word finally. And Paul is again, as I said before, wrapping up what he is saying to you, what's the takeaway. But the word finally, you know, what does that mean? I mean, we kind of...
What verse?
That's 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. I can give you some more. We'll get to them. Ephesians. What in the world did I write down? Ephesians 6:10. Philippians 3:1, Philippians 4:8, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, and 1 Peter 3:8. I'll mention them again. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Finally, brethren," excuse me. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Now, up here in 2 Corinthians, up in the beginning of the verse, he says, "Finally." So what does the word "finally" mean? I went through, you know, how is the word "finally" used in the English language? So he said, "Finally, brethren, farewell, do all these things." So he's kind of wrapping up what he wants you to take away from this passage of Scripture. But "finally," it means, refers to at the end or the conclusion. Ultimately. Now, when you're talking about "finally," you're also talking about how the Holy Spirit will conclude with you and your actions, your conduct, how He's going to carry you through. Because there's a lot of times that, you know, when you say "finally," well, finally at the end, here's where we're going to end up. But listen to some of these. Opportunities for "finally," "eventually," "someday," "soon." This is all "finally." "Ultimately," "in time," "at length," "at last," "in the end," "at perhaps at long last," "in the fullness of time," "presently," "imminently," almost there, "before long." Now this is "finally." "Finally, brethren," "right now," "forthwith." That pretty much means immediately. "Right off," "right away," "directly," "straightway," "straightaway," "anon," even "pronto." I like the last one, "pronto." "Finally," "pronto." So God is going to do all these things. In conclusion, so God, to these exhortations, is how is God going to complete these things on the inside of us? Okay, now 2 Corinthians 13:11. Now Paul is defending his apostleship here in 2 Corinthians. And he's saying, therefore, I write these things. And this is the verse 10, the verse right before 11. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. So it's not just a farewell like see you later. Farewell is an exhortation to do well. To do wisely, to do righteously. It also means to rejoice or to be glad. Brethren, be glad. He says, be perfect. Be complete. Be of good comfort. So these are all things that God is encouraging you with. To maintain in your walk, to maintain hope. Janet and I were talking about this on the way here, is that you have folks in the Christian faith who are bound up by their lack of consistency. They're just struggling with the fact that they are not consistent in one thing or another, or things are not working properly for them. They're young, or maybe they're not young, maybe they're old, and it seems like things are just not going consistently. But see, that's something the enemy wants to steal from you, is your joy. Amen? So he says, finally, farewell, do well. Be glad. Amen. This is keeping an eye on when you look in the mirror. It's like in James chapter 1. When you look in the mirror and you see who you are, you go your way. Don't forget who you are. Right? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I tell you what, everybody that you know, people that you know need to know these things. I mean, you could tell because these are the people who you meet up with and they're depressed. If your friends are depressed, you need to fix them. Amen. Encourage them. Build them up. Don't let them walk away with an attitude of destruction. Amen. Because you have the power of God to give to them. You have the hope of God to give to them, don't you? I do. I've got hope. I'm going to give it to you. Come see me again. I'll tell you the same thing again. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear hope. A lot of people, they prefer you to kind of agree with their, they want you to agree with their sadness or their the things that are beating them down or knocking them down, right? So he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. What is that? Be complete. Be complete. Follow through. Be complete. So, be of good comfort. In other words, now being of good comfort is to maintain through joy. Again, these are not things where God is, you know, holding you to this so that He will be pleased with you. It's so that you're not distracted by the affairs of this life. Amen? Keep yourself in joy. Sing. Figure out how to sing a song like Chad brings. You know, he could actually play a guitar song and build himself up. David encouraged himself in the Lord, right? So David is encouraging himself in the Lord. And this is what we do as believers on a daily basis. It's part of being a believer. Part of believing is believing. Is believing that God is good and not bad. Believing that God is for you and not against you. Amen? If God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah.
Lord.
You know, and you're reminding yourself of these things day after day. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Oh, are you comforted right now? Are you? Are you? I said, are you? Are you comforted? Amen. Hallelujah. Be of one mind. Of course, he's talking to the Corinthians here, and of course, they're arguing all the time, you know, about this doctrine or that doctrine. Now, one thing over in 1 Timothy, several times, Paul was telling Timothy, don't be preaching on doctrines that are controversial doctrines that Jesus or I never referred to. Don't be preaching on doctrines that are dumb. Don't be preaching on doctrines that nobody agrees with and the Bible doesn't address. And you're trying to find a way around it. You know, we got people arguing on, is Jesus, is he pre-trib or post, you know, or mid, or, well, what is he? He's on the way. He's on his way. He's on his way. Jesus is coming soon. That's all you need to say. Preach the gospel. Jesus is coming soon. You know, you don't need to have, you know, so many prophecy conferences. Amen? You just need to know Jesus is coming soon and then to finish the work that he gave you to do. So he says right there, again, we're in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Oh, my gosh. What about that? Live in peace. Well, that could apply to your family, or you could, you know, there's another scripture that says, as much as in you is, live at peace with your neighbor. Amen. As much as in you is. I just love King James. As much as in you is. Who would say it like that? As much as in you is.
You know, or, taking care of the chicken next door.
What about the chicken?
Dead chicken.
What about the dead chicken?
You had to go to your neighbor and tell him what happened.
Oh, yeah, I had to go live at peace with my neighbor because my granddog killed his chicken. Two of them.
Oh.
My granddog. It's not even my dog, but my granddog comes over, you know, and I think the chicken flew over the fence. It's a short fence. But anyway, so we had to go love our neighbor. Amen. Maggie got in trouble. So live in peace. So all of these things, do well, be glad, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Wow, that's a promise, isn't it? Hey, you know, he's kind of like saying, follow all of these suggestions, and actually, God will hang out with you. God will actually follow you around. The God of love and peace will be with you. You know, we like to correct people. Amen. I mean, anybody on Next Door?
Yes.
Oh.
That thing will drive you crazy. Think about Next Door. It's an app, you know, that is ostensibly, I'm using that word today, ostensibly. That is hopefully started out to be that way, was with the intent and purpose of was to help you and your neighbors live at peace.
Oh, wow.
I hear more on that thing about, I got this lady next door, she's got her dogs out there. And, you know, I mean, they're just basically complaining about each other is pretty much what they're doing. And so, you know, next door is basically you're spying on your neighbor. But he says, and the God of love and peace will be with you if you follow peace with your neighbors. Amen. You know, that's what, you know, that doesn't sound like necessarily a gospel thing. It just sounds like a love thing, doesn't it? Amen. Love. You know, your first testimony and your first ministry to your family and then to your neighbor is what? Love. That's your first testimony. You know, your person may not, you know, they might not hear your gospel before they hear your love. God, finally. 13:11.
Okay.
Also, another one, write this down in your corner. 1 Corinthians 1:10 talks about being perfectly, the body of Christ being fitly put to form together, perfectly fitted together. And that's where he says in the verse 11 there, it says, be perfect. That would be you and your neighbors and you and your fellow believers being perfectly fitted together. You are all, God has perfectly fitted the body of Christ together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all the parts are necessary, right? You know, you can't, the foot can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. So we're talking about the body of Christ together, all right? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So the first finally was farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. The second finally is be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Over in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he says, not by for the power, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, this mountain shall be removed. So you're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Now Ephesians 6, 10, right next verse is going on, putting on the armor of God. So you're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the girdle of truth, the helmet of salvation. So again, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So he starts out that passage with that word, finally. So in other words, as you're stepping out away from, you know, the doctrine of pastors and evangelists and the grace of God, finally you're stepping out in the armor of God into the day, into the walk of faith. Putting on the whole armor of God that you, why? That you may be able to stand. Now there's a whole message on stand we could do about standing. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, I've done it all. Well, go ahead and stand. It's like you're telling a soldier, stand, don't move, don't give an inch. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. So taking the armor of God is giving ability to stand. You take it. How do you take it? How do you put something on that's the armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Continue to stand. Stand therefore. There it is again. Stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, finally, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. So your strength is where?
In the Lord.
Your strength is in the Lord. So no matter what's coming your way today, no matter what threat has come down your lane, you are strong in the Lord. You have power that you know not of. You have power in your heart and in your mind that comes from the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. That's a finally. Amen? Finally, be strong in the Lord. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. There's a lot of finally. Finally, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you the same things, this is Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, and he's kind of reiterated or spoken to them numerous times about these things that he's talking about in various other venues or letters. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it's safe. There's safety in you hearing the same things over and over again. To rejoice in the Lord. How many remember Pastor Jim pretty much preached the same thing over and over and over and over and over again? Amen? So he would be preaching the same thing. I always said he's not a teacher as much as he is an evangelist. See, an evangelist goes to a new place every night. Well, what does he do? He preaches the same message, you know, for months at a time, you know. So, you know, I said, Pastor Jim is a good newser. You remember he would talk about the good news, the gospel? He's a good newser. He is filled with the good news, is that God did all the work. If you sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned again, God loves you and he's forgiven you. And he says, come in by faith. I have forgiven all of your sins. And so that's what he's doing. So he wants you to, no matter what's happening in the world today or in your life today, is to thank God and to rejoice. Amen? Is to rejoice each day. Make it a practice. Every day I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice today. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now maybe this is just me, but this finally business is because I hear it a lot. Anybody? I mean, you remember when you hear that, you see that in the one of the other messages that we recently did was take no thought. Remember? Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Meditate on that. Take no thought. Here, I'd like to give you a thought about tomorrow. And it's a bad thought. It's one that'll discourage you and make you think of how things are going to go sideways tomorrow. And here it comes. Would you like this? I'll even charge you money for it. You can have this. This thought would be great, you know. But again, take no thought. Then here, when the Bible repeats something over and over again, I want to pay attention to it. Amen. I want to go back to it. I want to meditate on it. Finally, brethren, finally. Well, finally what? Finally what? You know, and so meditate on these particular renditions of finally. And then finally also, what did finally mean? You know, we kind of went through those various synonyms for what finally could, how it could be assessed in your mind as to what it means. Does it mean right now? Does it mean almost? Does it mean, you know, but finally, it's not like the final thing necessarily, but it's coming forth. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think. Yeah, okay, so finally, brethren, think on these things. Forget the middle of it, you know, forget the process. But finally, brethren, think on these things. So what's the purpose of this verse? To command you to think. To think about what? Think about everything that he just talked about. All right? Finally, brethren, Think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, keep those things, throw the rest of them out. Keep those things, throw the rest of them out. You know, it's an interesting thing that Pastor Jim did a study about the kings, right? About the good kings and the bad kings, you know, and he talked about the number, the years, adding up the years of the good of the that the years that God is using to calculate his timeline are the years of the good kings. He didn't count the years of the bad kings. He found they did adding up all the kings. All the good kings, all the bad kings, and then adding up where he says this started here and it ended here, he found that the only ones God counted were the good kings. The only years God counted was the good kings. So here, when he's looking in Philippians 4:8, he says those things that are good, pure, lovely, and of a good report, and commanding you to think on what? On good things. Don't spend your time, don't waste your time ciphering on, thinking on, meditating on the things that are bad, the things that are evil. Don't spend your time. Finally, brethren, think on good things. It's another thing you can put on your fridge. Finally, rejoice. Finally, be at peace with one another. Be of good comfort. Finally, think on these things. Second Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for Paul? Well, he's in heaven. Why does he need prayer? No, pray for all of us. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So finally, brethren, pray for one another. Pray for one another. Make a list of Chad, Kathy, Alex, you know, Karen, Dan, Raul, Cynthia, Janet, David. Make a list. Maybe you could go home and write down who was at church today and just pray for them. We're going to pray for them today. I'm going to pray for you today. Pray for that bunch of people. Pray for Joe and Andrew. They weren't here. Pray for them. Of course, they're going to church with somebody we know. We know where they're at. They're okay. So he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and then be glorified even as it is with you. Now, and finally, let's look at 1 Peter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Oh, is that right? Finally, be ye all of one mind. And this book here, I want to find out who it's to. So you go to the front of the book. You go to the front of 1 Peter. And he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, to the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you, and peace be multiplied. So the strangers, all right? So to the strangers, everybody who's they're not of the household of Israel. They're the ones who are so they're Gentiles, speaking to Gentiles, right? So he's speaking to everybody who might hear the word of the Lord. So finally, be ye all, talking to the strangers, of one mind. These are believers, these are Gentiles, Christians. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be full of pity, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, or swearing for swearing, but rather blessing, instead of cursing one another, bless one another, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So he's telling you finally, all be of one mind, be of one mind together. Walk together in peace again. So he's commanding all of these believers, and mainly it's as groups of believers, to don't walk in antagonism toward each other. You know, you've heard of so many churches and various groups of people that the church is not the church of Jesus Christ. The church is a club that that people, you know, kind of get together and they make decisions as to what we're going to do next, what we're going to do down the road. And so they have decisions that they're going to make. And so it's not about the Holy Spirit. It's not about witnessing for Jesus. It's about, you know, what color carpet we're going to put in, you know, how we're going to fix the building, how we're going to do this, you know, all of those kind of things. So contention. So Paul, all these guys are specifically talking about is getting rid of contention among the believers. Amen? Getting rid of contrariness against that. So not allowing that contrariness to take root in your heart or your mind. And, you know, to encourage one another to not have that. Amen? So finally, brethren. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. He says it again later. Be of the same mind. Be strong in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Think on things that are righteous and godly and blessing to you, that encourage you. Pray for one another. Finally, pray for one another. Be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be full of pity, full of mercy. Be, again, King James does it right, doesn't it? Be courteous. I mean, how much do you hear on social media and all of these things that people aren't courteous? They're, you know, there is, be loving. Walk together. Walk together in peace.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, God is good.
Yes.
He's doing good work. Amen.
Amen.
He's causing you to walk finally.
Thank you, Father.
In these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Read the word. Let it dwell in you richly. The Word of God, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know, that's why the book of Proverbs exists, just for things like this, right? It's just, it tells you how to live at peace with your family, with your neighbors. So we're walking together in a way that is going to set us free every single day. You know, we're the happiest people we know. Aren't you the happiest person you know?
Amen.
Look in your mirror. Say, you're the happiest person I know. God bless you today. I mean, you're sitting there looking at your mirror. Amen. Because this is who you are. In fact, you're a blessing to every person you meet. Aren't you a blessing to every person you meet?
Amen.
Amen. You know, you're filled with the Word of God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And He's doing great things. Amen. You have your communion with you.